You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Monday, November 21st, 2016. Yes, is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the King, Scott Engel, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, and of course, Tony Sincotta as well. 844-843-6879. 844-84-FNTSY, the number to join in. Week 11 has one more game left. So that's tonight on Monday Night Football, of course. But to go over the rest of Week 11, we have the next 3 hours. Scotty, what's going on?
Wow, what a game last night for fantasy purposes. I think maybe the quote of the year from Rob Kelly after he scored 3 touchdowns. They asked him about his game.
Yeah.
He told the Associated Press, it was a special night, especially for those guys that play fantasy football.
Oh, it was. Yes. It was indeed a big night for us. Good day all around, for me at least. Not a good day across the NFL for fantasy purposes, however.
No, it was kind of like until like at least 4 o'clock.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm referring to. Tony, good morning. Yeah.
How are we doing tonight? Everybody all excited? It was a big day fantasy-wise. We had 11 extra points missed, but other than that,
12.
Everything went well.
12?
Oh, 12, yeah. There was 11 at one point. I lost track after that.
Dustin Hopkins, no, late last night.
He's talking about the day games. He's correct.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dustin Hopkins last night. That was amazing. We were talking about it in DFS today. The guy that won $1 million might not even have been awake. Last night, I was in 122,000th place out of 160,000,
yeah.
And I came in 1,800th, so this guy had Kirk Cousins, he had Jordan Reed, he had Roberto Kelly and Jameson Crowder. He was right there with me. He had to be in about 120,000th place, and then he won $1 million. He must not even, when you started that game, there was no chance in hell that guy had to think he was going to be a millionaire.
And now he is. How about that? You wake up, and all of a sudden, you're a millionaire.
I wonder if you watched the game, at what point you thought, I'm going to try to track him down this week, and we'll have him on DFS today, at what point you thought you legitimately had. Because he didn't think he did. Because you look at it, Kelly had that 70-yard run late in the contest. He had 2 touchdowns late in that contest. So that couldn't have been a time he was there, and he nailed it by rostering Malcolm Mitchell.
How about that? And of course, Rob Kelly's 66-yard run at the end of the game to just kill garbage time.
Yeah.
And to get in the end zone probably won that guy $1 million.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Way to go with the Washington stack.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking about Davis today. I was swearing at myself because I used Kelly yesterday instead of CJ ProSize. That was gonna be my main play. And when ProSize took off and ran that ball into the end zone, I went, oh, what an idiot you are. And because they were both cheap. And then, of course, Kelly paid off late in the night.
Kelly paid off. And CJ ProSize, unfortunately, did not. Let's start with last night's game. We'll get into the rest of the action throughout the morning here, of course. The Redskins defeated Green Bay last night 42-24 in a very high-scoring affair. And this is Green Bay, folks. They have no defense. Their offense is one-dimensional, and they are just not a very good football team. Aaron Rodgers led this team rushing with 33 yards, 351 passing, 3 touchdowns as well. They were led through the air by the unicorn, Jared Cook, Scott.
Yes, and actually they wasted a 47-yard catch from him. Looks like even though Cook hasn't played much, him and Rodgers are on the same page.
Oh, he lofted, kind of on the same page.
Yeah, he lofted 2 pretty passes, right where he should be. So, he's going to be a hot pickup this week. But like you said about the Packers defense, they have been awful. They have allowed more than 30 points in 4 straight games for the first time since 1953. They have also given up back-to-back 40-point outings. The secondary is terrible, but the rest of the team is not playing well. Remember when we used to discuss the Redskins having a quote, good run defense because they face Jacksonville and the Giants and Minnesota. I think that narrative was officially laid to waste last night.
Yeah, it's Corey. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing.
You know, we don't know how Corey's doing.
There we go.
Hello.
I'm doing well, Gregory, Scotty.
How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm kicking it. That boy, I tell you what, they suck.
Yes.
They suck.
Yeah.
But what I will say is this, though. I like the way Washington's offense is playing right now. I was wrong on Kirk Cousins. He deserves to be that team's starting quarterback. They need to wrap him up and pay him. Jamison Crowder, don't take him out your lineup.
No.
It remains that way. And now they look like they have.
That was a good call by you.
Yeah. Now it looks like they have some form of a running game. So this is going to be an offense that you want to piece up going down the stretch for fantasy purposes. And they are going to be a contender in the NFC.
They're already there. I mean, especially at home, right? They're a different team at home, I think.
Yeah.
Home and away. Let's look at Green Bay here for a second. What do you say, Corey, to all the people that are going to pick up Jared Cook this week?
I mean, look how much they're going to throw the football.
So you're in on this.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, yeah. I mean, I know he's been Bigfoot for years.
Yes.
Jared Cook. But as long as he's getting the targets, he's going to have the opportunity. And didn't we lose a tight end for the year last night? Then we lose Zach Miller for the season?
We lost Zach Miller, one of the many injuries yesterday.
Yeah,
many injuries yesterday.
The people that lost Zach Miller, then you obviously you're going to need a replacement. And I think Jared Cook is a fine option.
Oh, boy.
It's hard to say that, but it is what it is at this point.
I just will not be the person that picks up Jared Cook. It's just not going to happen.
Why not?
Many times in the past, that's why.
Correct.
Yes.
But look,
over and over and over and over and over
again. Listen, I'm the last guy.
He's Christian Michael.
No, he's not.
Yes,
I'm the last guy to defend.
They're on the same team now, too.
I know, right? I'm the last guy to defend Jared Cook, but in this passing offense, but he's throwing the ball 45, 50 times.
Right.
It's going to be enough for Jared Cook.
It's enough for Jared Cook, but it's not enough for Ty Montgomery. It's not enough for these other guys. Randall Cobb, 3 for 84. Jordy Nelson, 3 for 28. Devontae Adams, 3 for 42, but it's enough for Jared Cook. All these wide receivers did nothing last night.
Jared Cook got 11 targets.
Sure. Game plan specific? Yeah.
The game plan is always going to be get beat up by the defense, have Aaron Rodgers throw the ball 40 times.
Sure, but when the wide receivers did nothing, you have to think that the wide receivers did nothing in this game.
Yeah, the wide receivers did anything. I'm not going to say that was the Washington's coverage, but no, anytime you got a tight end that's going to get this many targets, the skill set, the athleticism, playing in this offense. Yeah, why not? You got to go after Jared Cook.
I think you have to take a flyer.
Don't do this.
If you're
you don't like the Jared Cook thing?
Nope.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tone. Please talk Greg into Jared Cook.
Yeah, Greg. Sometimes when you get in these situations, when you see a guy that's getting this many points from a position that doesn't score a lot of points,
it's true.
You have to take a shot on him. And as much as you look at last night's performances by the wide receiver group, they chose to go to the tight end. They thought of taking advantage of the Washington linebackers in the passing game was the way to go. And a lot of teams will draw it up this way. Now, they just throw the ball way more than everybody else. So that's why I was like yesterday, people are forgetting about Aaron Rodgers in fantasy.
Sure.
Daily fantasy. He's a strong play every week. You just put him in there because they throw the ball way too much. And yesterday was another game where it happened again. I mean, the bottom line is he sucked and he had 3 touchdown passes. He had 11 targets, Jared Cook. Is he going to catch 105 every week? But if you tell me you're trotting out the likes of Cameron Brate, Zach Miller, don't tell me that Jared Cook can't be on your lineup.
No, he could be on your lineup with all these tight ends and stink. I just hope you're not picking him up thinking you just all of a sudden just lucked into this great tight end because it's not. He's going to just turn back into a goat or a pumpkin next week.
It's one game.
Yep.
But, you know, and you're taking a flyer there. It's a very good performance. It's only 1 week. We've been burned by saying Corey's has said, been one of the many fan analysts who said in the past, pick up Jared Cook, and it hasn't worked out.
Right.
But if you lost Zach Miller or you're struggling for a tight end, you have to take the flyer. It depends on who your tight end is.
You could have had a quality tight end like Martellus Bennett in your lineup.
Or Tyler Eifert.
You can have all these guys in your
Tyler life. Eifert with A.J. Green played one play.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
He got hit so hard, and then he never was the same player after that. He got buried in that game yesterday.
Oh, I didn't see that play. He took a hard shot,
He took a huge he took a big shot in that game. And I didn't see any injury report, but he was never the same player after that one play.
There you go. With that.
Maybe something that'll come out.
Maybe we will see. We'll get to Cincinnati in just
maybe he lost his man card there yesterday, Scott
nice.
Angle. Didn't Mike Tyson say, everybody's a tough guy until they get punched in the face?
For Washington yesterday, Pierre Garçon and Jameson Crowder both go over 100 with touchdowns. DeSean Jackson returns. He gets a touchdown. All three of these Redskins wide receivers did very, very well yesterday. Jordan Reed chipped in 5 for 79, so you're okay there. Your boy Vernon Davis, Corey, was not on the stat sheet yesterday.
No, he was not on the stat sheet. He was in my lineup, though.
That's so good. Probably pick up Jared Cook.
Yes.
The Fat Rob. Rob Kelly, 137-3, including a 66-yard garbage time run down the right side. One play later, got in the end zone. Corey said this Redskins offense is flying right now. Kirk Cousins outduels Aaron Rodgers with 375-3 of his own. Tony, I know it's the Green Bay defense, so it's tough to take away anything. But what do you see when you look at Washington's offense?
Yeah, I actually have Kirk Cousins on a lot of teams. And yesterday I thought him and Blake Bortles were the two best plays at quarterback money-wise. And you look at what he's doing with all these weapons. And Pierre Garçon was 3,900. That enticed me to put him in some lineups just because of the price in this game against the Green Bay secondary that's crazy bad. Dom Capers probably will be the next losing his job. And it's good that younger people will be able to have a job. So Dom Capers will be out of work after this contest. Jamison Crowder in this game, he became only the home run threat. I mean, he caught three balls in this game. One was 51 yards, one was 53 yards, and then he lost 2 yards on his other catch. Just Jordan Reed from the tight end position, of course, is more like a wide receiver. And how about a healthy DeSean Jackson fixing things yesterday? They take the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. That's going to be a great game to watch.
Yeah, two really good games on Thanksgiving, this Thursday.
Who was the late game?
Indy-Pittsburgh is the late game.
Detroit-Minnesota
is the other one. I'm talking about.
Sounds like an awesome game. I want to check out.
Hey, that one's for the for first place. Both of them are 6-4.
Great.
Hey, I'll be interested to watch that.
Yeah, Detroit-Minnesota, you're interested in watching?
Yeah. I mean, it's for first place. He makes sense.
It is for first place. But
for fantasy, it's nothing for us.
From a football perspective, I want to watch it.
Yeah. You say that, I think that Stephon Diggs is going to have a humongous opportunity in this game.
Bounce back.
For fantasy owners, this is a great match for him. We all debated on whether yesterday he was a good play. So Stephon Diggs, when he's getting 16 targets in that game on Thanksgiving against a poor secondary in Detroit, it's going to be one of those games. We're talking about Matthew Stafford. They're not going to be able to run the ball, I don't think, against Minnesota. Is he going to throw the ball 40 times? Does he stay up? So there'll be a lot of fantasy talk for that game. Why do you start out with... your pre-Thanksgiving meal.
Appetizer.
We'll, of course, preview that Thursday morning. The Roto Experts will be here for that. So look forward to it. Hey, so you mentioned Cincinnati. You mentioned Tyler Eifert getting hit and never being the same again. That's what AJ Green and Giovanni Bernard yesterday. Cincinnati loses their best player in AJ Green to possibly a torn hamstring. Giovanni Bernard out of nowhere tears his ACL. And Cincinnati now at 3-6-1. They, Scotty, they are done.
Yeah, pretty much. Tyler Boyd had a good first half and then disappeared in the second half. But if you're struggling for receiver help, somebody's going to have to step forward with AJ Green out and take a flyer on Tyler Boyd if you play in a deep league. And then, it's going to be more opportunities for Jeremy Hill, but certainly hurts Andy Dalton when he doesn't have his biggest weapon there.
I don't know if it needs to be a deep league to take a shot on Tyler Boyd here. Without A.J. Green, it just opens up a lot of targets. I think Tyler Boyd needs to be kind of picked up everywhere right now.
Well, I say that because, there are going to be no buys in Week 12, and there's only two buys in Week 13, so we're not at a point in the upcoming week where, you probably might have another option, good depth on your bench that you might be able to pop in.
You can't say that Tyler Lockett should be on the roster and not Tyler Boyd.
Exactly.
I didn't say that.
I'm just making sure.
But Tyler Boyd, I think after AJ Green's injury, Tony.
I don't know why you're talking about it. I never said that.
You need to go grab Tyler Boyd wherever you are, Tony, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he's the number one guy to pick up in fantasy this week. If you're looking at a guy that came in with some expectations, but we go too crazy now with wide receivers. We think everyone's going to step in and put away. Now he's at 10 games under his belt. The 11th game, he got an opportunity. He's going to be going forward. He could be the number one wide receiver in that offense. I mean, you look at Brandon LaFell. He's a guy, we know what he is. He's a guy that catches some balls, drops some balls, gets available in the end zone. But Tyler Boyd's a guy that I think that's going to take that AJ Green role. He's not going to be AJ Green by any stretch of the imagination, but a guy this late in the season, if you're hurting a wide receiver, he can fill in.
By the way, I know why you groaned about Thanksgiving. It means we'll have to watch Dwayne Washington on Thanksgiving. 25 carries for 38 yards in his last three games.
Yeah, fantastic. We'll get some Lions here in a little bit. Giovanni Bernard here. Tony, Gio tears his ACL. Everyone saying how big Jeremy Hill is going to be now in the future. What about Rex Burkhead? Any love in picking him up?
No, but we've seen him actually play good last year. No, I don't. Does this mean more? I don't know if this necessarily. I think we're getting too excited about Jeremy Hill, too. He's going to have more touches, but right. He really hasn't done enough with them. And he was getting enough touches from a running back perspective. So now he might catch a couple balls out of the backfield. So it's certainly not going to help him. But I don't think it's going to be the abundance that, you know, escalates him over other running backs on your depth chart.
But it'd be good to have one guy. You know what I mean? It'd be good to have one guy that you can hand the ball to, throw the ball to. You know, just use that one player. I'm starting to think with these teams, I'm looking at these committees, if you don't have one running back, if you don't have a bell cow, you really don't have a running game at all, to be honest with you.
Sure.
You look at these teams that don't have no balance in their offense, it's these teams that are rotating multiple backs in and out the lineup. So, yeah. I mean, Cincinnati season is over for the most part, but, you know, for Jeremy Hill owners, I think Jeremy Hill owners should be positive going down.
I'm sure they will be.
Yeah, I mean, I think we get a chance to see what he's really made of.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
you know, don't hopefully get Gio stealing the occasional goal line carry, although yeah, Rex exactly. Burkhead might, you know, vulture one or two.
I'm not fooling with Rex Burkhead.
For Buffalo, LeSean McCoy leaves the game with a thumb injury.
He was getting ready to have a big game, too.
He was getting ready to have a monster game. Did score 5 for 33 and a touchdown. Everyone said immediately, yeah, he's fine, but he was so fine he didn't come back in. So this one Bears watching. Mike Gillisley has 14 for 72. Robert Woods leaves the game, and he was out for a while. But the rumor has Sammy Watkins coming back next week. Tell him.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I want to see Sammy Watkins play. I would never put him in my lineup next week unless I'm in a desperate situation. The whole McCoy situation is funny because you're right. So now it says that he had a sprained thumb and maybe miss a week, maybe, but could be back in that one.
Yeah.
This is something you got to watch out. If you can and you don't have him, you got to get Mike Gillisley. Whatever you got left for Fab Money, there's 2 weeks left. Throw it all out there and get him.
I'm with you. If he's out there, you have to
McCoy
do it.
McCoy just seems like get hurt all the time. Going back to his Eagles days, too. I remember late in the season, driving towards a fantasy championship, and he missed the end of the season.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely. So many injuries yesterday. McCoy and Gio and A.J. Green are just the start. We break it down throughout the morning for you here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. When we come back, we'll talk about C.J. ProSize Seattle and what to make of what the Seahawks are doing right now. We'll break it down next here on the Roto Experts. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Having a wonderful Monday morning. Bright and early, waking you up for hopefully what will be a short week for you. Not for us. We're working all week long. The Seahawks defeated the Eagles at home 26-15. Perhaps nobody rolling right now as well as the Seahawks and the Cowboys, obviously. Two probably the top teams, along with the Patriots, in the NFL. Seahawks improved to 7-2, undefeated at CenturyLink. Russell Wilson, Scotty, is healthy, throwing a touchdown, catching a touchdown. He looks good. CJ ProSize is not healthy, hurting his scapula, which could keep him out a while, they say. Winds up a 72-yard run for a touchdown. You thought you were going to have a monster game from ProSize. Almost immediately after that, gets hurt. Thomas Rawls comes in and gets a full complement of snaps. Now, if CJ ProSize is out a while, Thomas Rawls, the same person that won a lot of people fantasy leagues last year, or got him into the playoffs last year, may do it again.
Yeah, ProSize looked really good. 72-yard touchdown run, which was exciting. And then, Rawls came in. Even before the ProSize injury, he was looking good and played very, very physical. Really laid a hit on linebacker Nigel Branham on one of his runs. So you'll see a lot of work for Rawls. His handcuff will probably become Alex Collins, or it could be Tremaine Pope if he's not seriously injured. We don't know the extent of his injury, but as far as Wilson goes, he looks fine. I think he'll be regaining even more mobility, over the next week or two. Everything seemed to click offensively.
Yeah, the Seahawks are rolling right along. Doug Baldwin, 4 for 104 yesterday, threw a touchdown.
Threw a touchdown.
To Russell Wilson. Jimmy Graham, 3 for 46, but he also had a man's touchdown, so that was good. And Tyler Lockett, Corey, 2 for 39.
2 for 39, Tyler Lockett on 3 targets. Clearly, this is a special teams player.
Yes.
Back of your bench, more than likely a waiver wire type guy. Not going to happen this season. Jermaine Kearse gets 6 targets. Tyler Lockett's, he doubled Tyler Lockett's number. You're not going to put Kearse on your fantasy team, so there goes that.
He's a fantasy football playoff challenge guy.
Who?
Kearse.
Okay, hey, maybe so. You're right.
He waits till the postseason to show up.
Now, with this running back situation, this is Thomas Rawls' gig. He looked good, averaged 4 yards a carry yesterday. I think we get a return of Thomas Rawls from last season, a nice, healthy Thomas Rawls, who I had everywhere until I cut. Now I can't pick him up nowhere. I was quick on the trigger with my players this year. With Rawls and Watkins, I was like, get them off my team.
It's nice to have, it's nice to be quick.
And now they're back. Now both of them
are back. I caught Rob Kelly in one league a few weeks ago before he got the starting job.
But this kid, Procise, he couldn't get on the field to start the season.
Yep.
Now he plays 2 games and then he's right back on the scrap heap. So hopefully this is not going to be the thing of his career where he can't stay healthy. He's got dynamic talent, but you got to stay. You got to be available.
Yeah, he was already hurt earlier this year. So,
You gonna go to the other side of the football, Greg?
I'm going there next.
Seattle is rolling. They're an impressive.
Looking good.
They're an impressive football team.
Philadelphia loses not one but two running backs yesterday as Ryan Matthews hurts what we believe is his MCL. That could keep him out for a couple weeks, maybe for us, the fantasy playoffs here. Darren Sproles, I don't even know what his injury. What was his injury? Sproles-y?
Let me look that up, Greg.
I know you guys both don't know. You're a Seahawks fan.
I watched the game, but it slipped my mind for a minute.
So Darren Sproles also hurt
himself.
Do you
have it?
I'm getting it right now.
I'm talking to you. So Darren Sproles also hurts himself, which left the entire running back role for Wendell Smallwood and Kenjon Barner. It was a rib injury for Darren Sproles. Knocked him out before halftime. He did not return. So it was Smallwood and Barner the rest of the way. Now, Scotty, since the summer, you have been telling me about Wendell Smallwood since they drafted him. Ryan Matthews is hurt. Darren Sproles is hurt. Smallwood, this is going to be his opportunity. Now, he doesn't have to face the Seahawks every week, obviously. We thought that Philadelphia would be a running football team in recent weeks. They had gone back to Ryan Matthews. Matthews looked good when he was in there yesterday. Had a nice 18-yard run at one point. He looked pretty solid. Now, this is, for the time being, Smallwood's backfield. You've been on him for a while. What do you think of him going forward?
Well, let's see the extent of the injuries. First, wait for some tests to come through, etc. But yeah, Smallwood looked good on a few runs yesterday. He's versatile and somebody I think you could definitely use in the flex if there's an expanded role. I think it would definitely be him ahead of Kenjon Barner for sure.
I don't know if I agree it'll be him.
Barner's more of like a third down complementary back. I see Smallwood playing the Matthews role.
Correct.
And maybe Barner playing the Sproles role.
Correct.
But I think Smallwood would definitely get more snaps than Barner.
So I agree with both of those things. But let's not forget, though, Barnes in that theoretical Sproles role, how often they do utilize
Sproles.
Smallwood's
the fantasy running back you want out of those two.
I agree, but I wouldn't just sleep on Barner, though, is what I'm saying.
I would put a dollar on Barner, too. This is not going to be Wendell Smallwood's gig all to himself. This is to be a team that's going to run the football, try to protect that quarterback. So, dollar make you holler.
I think Barner's like 5'9", like 190, though.
But so big is Sproles?
I'm not expecting it. I'm saying he's going to play the Sproles role.
Sproles played more snaps than any of these running backs, though.
Sproles has a rib injury.
But Barner doesn't have the talent of Sproles. I think Smallwood would dominate the snap.
I think dominate is a very, very loose term here.
I would say 65-35.
Ryan Matthews more talented than Darren Sproles. He didn't dominate the snap.
It's true.
I think they want 2 running backs, Scott. I think they want to use 2 running backs. That's what I think their deal is with the Philadelphia Eagles.
The only thing is, like, Smallwood, they like him in the passing game, whereas they didn't like Matthews that much in the passing game. So that's
I don't
a difference
understand why
me.
Not. He can catch the football.
You could play.
I don't know why, but, they like Smallwood's versatility.
Tony, let me go to you here and ask you this. With Ryan Matthews hurt, with Darren Sproles hurt, we all agree that Wendell Smallwood's the guy you want to pick up, but Corey and I saying, Kenjon Barner, don't sleep on him.
The only negative on Barner is that he actually plays special teams as well. Okay. Since there's some games, like I remember two games ago, where he wasn't involved at all in the offense, and that's what they said. They said, oh, we needed him on special teams that day. So sometimes that comes into play, and we don't think of that as fantasy owners.
Yeah. Right.
And to tell you the truth, I don't really think about how much, you know, what these are professional athletes in the prime of their lives, and then they can't go down the field, you know, four or five times, and we have to be concerned about that. But you just don't want to make them susceptible to injury if you're already hurting on a special team. So a lot of times, Barner, that's why he loses out in those situations. And he's been used in various situations. He's been used in the passing game. He's been used at the goal line. So he's one of those backs. This is a situation in Philadelphia you just got to avoid. Even if it's Smallwood 1 week, it's Matthews 1 week, these are types of situations where it's best to just avoid it at any chance possible.
A lot of people, so we'll talk about waiver wire obviously tomorrow, but Wendell Smallwood is going to be a popular play here. Running back gets hurt, right? We saw it with Gio. We're seeing it with now with Matthews and Sproles. People are going to spend a lot of money on this guy.
Tony just basically said that Kendrick Barner is like Brandon Bolden is to the Patriots.
You know what? That's a great comparison right there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is that a great comparison, though? I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bolden is like their special teams demon.
Right. Sure. And Matt Slater.
And when there were injuries in the Patriots' backfield in the past, we all thought Bolden was going to step up, but they
he
wanted
comes
to use
in,
him
yeah.
on special teams.
It's true.
And he comes in and looks like the best back on the team, you know, at times, Bolden. And then you don't see him for 3 weeks.
That's kind of how Belichick works. You're absolutely right. So there you go. So we'll talk more about how much you want to spend of your remaining budget. Of course, you have 2 weeks. Can't take the Fab to the strip club. So we'll talk more about how much you'll spend on Smallwood going forward tomorrow on the show. Receiving-wise for Philadelphia, led by Jordan Matthews, is 5 for 59. Don't sleep here on DGB. Doyle Green Beckham, 8 targets. He was 5 for 54. He scored a touchdown. And then Zach Ertz, Corey, finally gets into the end zone. 6 for 35 and a touchdown. Would have had 2 if it wasn't for Nelson Aguilar.
They need to do more, though. They need to do more. They need better players.
They need better players.
All of those stats came in garbage time.
Yeah, you're exactly
right.
At one point, Russell Wilson, and I think late in the third quarter, had as many receiving yards as the entire Philadelphia receiving crew. 15.
Aguilar. I wouldn't pick up Green Beckham. I wouldn't, you know what, if you're really hurting a buck, but if you spent 2, I would call you ludicrous.
Yeah, I'm not picking up Doyle Green Beckham either, but I am encouraged to see Zach Ertz get into the red zone, and clearly trying to make an effort to get the ball to Zach Ertz.
He would have had a 57-yard touchdown if it wasn't for Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, we just said that. So it would have been an even bigger game. They have said they want to make a better effort to Ertz. They're doing that. So Zach Ertz, probably not available right now, but we've been talking about what you think of Ertz going forward. I like him, Corey.
Nah, I think you got to get involved with Zach Ertz. You know what I'm saying? He's going to probably be one of the leaders in this team in targets. He's their best weapon in the passing game. The rest of those dudes are... And Jordan Matthews don't stink, but them other two in the out. You see where they started? The Eagle fans started a GoFundMe to cut Nelson Aguilar.
I did not see that.
Yeah,
actually,
the Eagle fans started a GoFundMe to cut Nelson Aguilar. Like they won't give the team like this is the cap hit that you'll take for cutting him. Here you go. They want to raise it for the team so they can put this kid on the
street. Holiday season.
Yes,
it's
a holiday season.
Jared Cook or Zach Ertz?
Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz is not available nowhere though.
You know what's crazy?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can be fooled watching games, and sometimes you can be led down the wrong way. Carson Wentz is legit.
I agree.
He's a real quarterback.
I agree.
And his numbers were terrible. 23 for 45, 218, and a quarterback rating of 30. But if you watch this guy play, it is what his average yards per completion was 4.8. If you look at this guy play the game, he looks like he belongs. Like he's a control out there against a very good defense. This guy, long term, is going to be a quarterback if they can get any weapons in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Carson Wentz is going to be good. I think they found a good player in the draft. You know who didn't find a good player? Maybe the Rams, Jared Goff. we'll talk about the Rams' demise when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We roll on until 10 a.m. Eastern Time here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Returning here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Scott Engel, Corey Parson, Greg Sussman, and Tony Cincotta, who was just talking about how Carson Wentz in Seattle, as tough as it is to play there, Carson Wentz looked like a man, right? He looked almost like he belonged yesterday, despite the numbers and despite losing to Seattle. Carson Wentz looked fine. Jared Goff had his first career start yesterday. In the game, they were up 10-0 for about 56 minutes, it felt like.
Or, they were.
They were, right?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Instead, they wound up 14 points in those 4 minutes, seemingly all to Devontae Parker.
Let me tell you what's so crazy. Like, you know, I have a, my niece was over the house. She's right. 2 years old. Okay. She can't walk down the stairs.
Right.
The score was 10-0.
Right.
I picked her up to take her down the stairs.
Right.
Put her in the car seat. I came back upstairs. The score was 14-10.
And that is the Los Angeles Rams.
I know what Tony finds most interesting is how often if we discussed Jarvis Landry not getting in the end zone, then he pushes about half the Rams roster into the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely he did. Him, the Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill, and friends, they all push Landry into the end zone.
Yeah.
Gets in there for one of the touchdowns. Devontae Parker.
Tannehill's like, I don't know if I can throw one, so I better push you in.
Parker winds up having a monstrous last 4 minutes, 8 for 79 and a touchdown. A really good Rams defensive performance here, unfortunately, unravels in those last 4 minutes.
We're starting to see the talent that the kid has. You know what I'm saying, Parker? Obviously,
yeah,
availability
sure.
has been a problem to this point of his NFL career. But as long as he can be on the field, you still have to realize that Ryan Tannehill is his quarterback. So always go into the situation with your expectation tempered. The talent is legit. Though I had one of the scouting types tell me before that Parker was a better player than Jarvis Landry.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. Throughout the summer, there was a question. Do you want Jarvis Landry or do you want Devontae Parker? I mean, it was a thing all summer long. Parker never seemingly got healthy.
And the thing about it is, it's like he has to be – we was talking about it on the show yesterday morning. He has to be in, like, pristine health.
Yeah.
And to get on the field.
Yeah.
Like, he can't have the sniffles. His feet have to be in place. His hamstrings have to be good to go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he has to wake up feeling like $100 in order to play. Apparently, yesterday was one of those days.
Jay Ajayi, 16 for 77, Tony. What was interesting about that is the Dolphins were missing, what, three starting offensive linemen, and Ajayi just kept churning?
Yeah, and the defensive line for the Rams actually dominated this game, and somehow they lost. I mean, they were in the backfield the whole game, and that was a crazy, crazy game. I watched the game, and I couldn't believe it until after the game when I saw that he had 77 yards on 16 carries, because it didn't look it. It looked like he was getting shut down. It just methodically just kept playing well, and I'll tell you what, it will never happen, but the coach of the year is actually Adam Gase. This team is 6-4. That's amazing to me.
Five in a row.
What they've done. And here's what I like Gase over everybody else in the league, is that he left Jay Ajayi off the plane the first game, realized it was a mistake, went back to it. We started out the same way Miami's always been doing it, throw the ball 40 times a game with Ryan Tannehill to Jarvis Landry in the short pass game, realized that wasn't going to work. He changed that. Most coaches, they won't change to their talent. They have a system, and they stick to it, and a lot of times it's a total failure. This young coach changed everything after the season already started.
Yeah, it was impressive because he obviously didn't like Jay Ajayi in the doghouse. He went to a stupid four-man committee, and for once, all of us were like, Jay Ajayi is clearly the best running back. What are they doing? And Adam Gase is like, you know what? You're right. Jay Ajayi is the best running back. We're just going to give him the ball, and it is work. Dolphins now 6-4. As you said, Scotty, they've won 5 in a row. They're starting the season 1-4 here, and you look like the Dolphins were just in the crapper, and here they are now fighting for a playoff spot.
Yeah, they look like one of the worst teams in the
league. Absolutely.
After about 5 weeks, and they've really turned it around. Like Tony said, what they've really changed is, you know, this is a different team now. They rely heavily on the running game, which can kind of ease the pressure on the quarterback. But for 3.5 quarters, though, you know, I think he was sacked 4 times, et cetera.
That line was dominating.
Yeah, he threw 2 bad interceptions. But, you know, they came on late. And if Devontae Parker is going to continue to do things, it's going to be about making plays after the catch, getting yardage after the catch.
That's his thing. That's his game. I mean, the kid could play. I was impressed. I'm waiting for you to talk about the Rams, though.
Okay. Los Angeles Rams are 4-6.
Yeah.
1-4 in the Coliseum / in London of Los Angeles. Kenny Britt 5 for 43 on 7 targets. Lance Kendricks 4 for 38. So for those Kenny Britt owners that were nervous about Jared Goff, well, guess what? You should have been, because they don't throw the ball more than 10 yards from the line of scrimmage.
And that's the thing right there. As long as this guy's a starting quarterback, he is going to – first of all, he's just going to try to, like, make it onto the field and get out the huddle. But as long as he's the starting quarterback, he is going – it's not going to be no reading progressions. It's not going to be looking downfield.
Correct.
He's going to hike the ball. He's going to throw the football. Right. It's going to be four, five, six, seven-yard receptions for the remainder of this season when it comes to the Los Angeles Rams offense, because this kid is not going to pass the football down the field at all. And maybe he can get – maybe we can see more from Gurley. Maybe he gets more carries. He got 20 yesterday. Maybe he can get some more work out the backfield as a pass catcher. He didn't yesterday, but it's Jared Goff is going to be a check down machine.
Every pass that he threw more than 10 yards downfield yesterday – was incomplete, it was an Alex Smith clinic, and then Tony and Joe were talking about yesterday on the morning show about Todd Gurley, you know, the low price in Daly, and then you saw a 24-yard draw play for a touchdown.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
you know, but the problem at the end of the day, though, he had that 20-yard run, and then he had 3.8 yards of carry, right?
Yeah.
And there was nothing happening there. They got to get him involved in the passing game. Like, he had two targets yesterday. Cunningham had two. They didn't throw to the running backs yet. They had all these short passes. Like, probably the kid can't do it. That's probably the problem.
Correct.
Scott knows. I talk about this all the time. One of the hardest things is for a young quarterback is to have NFL-level running backs catching balls out of the backfield because they're so much quicker. The routes are so precise, and you got to be on the money when it's coming out of the backfield. It's not easy to do. It looks easy, but it's not. But they got to. This is a defensive line for the Rams that's Super Bowl worthy, and Jeff Fish is ruining this defense because this Rams offense is never going to be capable of being a successful team.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what the Rams have done over the last few games defensively. I mean, it's been good. You're absolutely right, Tony. This defensive line, led by Aaron Donald, has just been tremendous. And you just look here at the last few games. They just lost as 114-10. In the last game against the Jets, 9-6, 13-10, 17-10, right? Against the Lions, they allowed 31 points. But over the last four games, they haven't allowed more than 17 points in a single game, and they have not scored more than 10 points in their last four games. It's very, very tough to win football games like that.
No, not at all. And actually, I actually heard a Rams beat reporter last night on the Donovan McNabb show, and that's how my life is when you're listening to the Donovan McNabb show.
I'm about to say.
And the reason, the reason the Rams selected Jared Goff number one overall is they thought their defense was good, that they would never be that bad, that they would always be picking in the teens. And if they ever wanted to draft a franchise quarterback, they had to do it now. So they were going to pick one of the two quarterbacks just because they had an early pick. Like, they didn't necessarily love the guy.
Yeah, they should have probably picked Carson Wentz, you think.
Yeah, they should have.
Or like Dak Prescott. That would have worked, too.
Don't give the Rams my quarterback.
And you don't want me to give the Rams the quarterback, your quarterback?
I can't believe I just called him my quarterback.
You called him your quarterback. How does it make you feel?
Not happy.
Why not?
It should. They're 9-1.
They would have been 9-1.
Tony Romo would be a good L.A. guy.
Yeah. Tony Romo in L.A. works.
Tony Romo's the last nine games Romo has completed, his record is 8-1.
Yeah,
it's been
the last half century.
I'm not saying Tony Romo's a has-been. What I'm saying is if they didn't have Dak Prescott right, Tony Romo would have been hurt. What have been the situation? They wouldn't have had this record.
No. You're right about that. Yeah.
Dak Prescott led the way against Baltimore yesterday, a 27-17 victory. The Cowboys improved to 9-1 with a Thanksgiving battle against their arch rival Washington football team.
Yeah, the Cowboys and the Indians on Thanksgiving.
Cowboys and the Indians on Thanksgiving. Will there be peace?
What? I'm sorry, the Native Americans, excuse me.
It's okay. No problem. Dak Prescott, man. Corey, is he stealing the Rookie of the Year award away from Ezekiel Elliott?
Nah, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott is going to be the Rookie of the Year. Dak Prescott's going to be the most valuable player. That's how the awards.
Now, if he's the most valuable player, why isn't he the Rookie of the Year?
Because you got to spread the love.
I think it's Ezekiel.
That's happened before in sports. It makes no sense, but it's happened.
Okay.
That way.
It doesn't make any sense.
And I don't think I agree with you. You can't. But I'll tell you what. Every week I'm changing the MVP. And for me, it's Dak Prescott this week.
Do change every week. Last week it was DeMarco Murray.
I heard an interesting discussion on the NFL Network about this. And
that's where his life is.
Michael Irvin was leading this discussion. He says, if you don't have Ezekiel Elliott and you don't have that offensive line and you're putting everything on Dak Prescott, is he the MVP? And Corey just said if Tony Romo was in there, they could be 9-1.
He did just say that.
So is he really the MVP, or is it Ezekiel Elliott – and
Zach Martin and Tyron Smith.
You can't give a group the MVP.
Right.
It's really right. Like, if you, what's the piece that you take away that's the most important?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. I'm going to make the same argument. The reason I don't have Ezekiel Elliott as the MVP is 1,400 yards combined from Darren McFadden last year.
Sure.
And so I'm looking at Ezekiel Elliott, and I don't want to take anything away because he's putting up the numbers, but I'm saying I've seen two other running backs do the same thing Ezekiel Elliott is behind that offensive line. And we can't give the offensive line the MVP.
All right, Corey, who's the captain of the offensive line?
It'd be the center, Trevor Martin.
There you go. There's
Zach
MVP.
Martin.
But now, but you MVP. Can't give it. You can't get the damn center to the MVP.
Zach Martin is the center of this team.
He's left guard. Travis Frederick is the center.
Travis Frederick.
Travis Frederick.
MVP.
Well, you don't even know your team, Corey. Come on.
Who's the center of the Giants, Greg?
Weston Richburg.
Oh, okay.
He knew that because he's a Jewish guy.
He is not a Jewish guy. He's very far from a Jewish guy.
Everybody thought David Cohn was Jewish too, and he was.
But you look at Jewish. When you look at Prescott. I mean, he is. You see how Jared Goff is like
bad.
He's the game is going 100 miles an hour to him.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz in that environment yesterday. The game is going 100 miles an hour. Dak Prescott is at
slows
peace.
It down.
Yeah,
Dak Prescott's
peace.
Game is slowing down for Dak Prescott.
But it's very easy to say this. No offense about Dak Prescott when he's got nobody in the back. I mean, he's got a clean pocket every play. You're not going to worry about anything.
Well, we've seen him make plays.
He makes
plays.
Good decisions, though.
We've
sure.
Seen him make, he made a play last week versus Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
Where the pocket slid.
Absolutely.
He saw his footwork. He reset, hit Dez on a long play down the field. So he has
the
skill set.
Accuracy in throwing the tight windows is there. You can't talk about time when you're throwing that accurate a ball.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Gotten better every week, too.
Yeah.
Remember at the beginning of the year, Dez Bryant was doing nothing, and we thought it wouldn't work. And then yesterday, 6 catches, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns, 8 targets. He had 6 catches on 8 targets. Cole Beasley, 6 targets, had 5 catches on 6 targets. I mean, he has improved great. That was the thing. I was watching that game yesterday. I said, Dak Prescott's a real deal, and he gets better every week.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, everybody here, about Dak Prescott's confidence increasing each and every week. Corey mentioned the game slowing down. Certainly the offensive line, mostly a clean pocket, obviously helps that. And Dez Bryant, you saw the lack of confidence, I'm going to say, that he had in Dak Prescott at the beginning of the year. He wasn't getting involved, as you just mentioned, Tony. And now Dez is back to making plays. I talked about a man touchdown for Jimmy Graham. That was a man touchdown, Tony, for Dez Bryant.
Oh, Dez Bryant, you look at it, and all the Dak's learning, right? When you get a guy like Dez Bryant, if he's covered, throw him the ball anyways.
Yeah.
And there's certain receivers you can do that with, and you have to learn that because you're afraid to make a mistake when you're a young quarterback. That's where a lot of these guys get in trouble. They're afraid to make a mistake. I think a lot of it helped now that his team the rest of the way, and he could take those chances and make those decisions and throw to a guy that's a superior athlete.
Corey, you had Ezekiel Elliott, 25 carries yesterday, 97 yards. Did have over 100 total yards, but 97 rushing yards. Good Ravens defense. Ezekiel Elliott, his long arm was 14, so he got to just plug the way and plug the way and plug the way.
Just keep eating.
Did not find the end zone here.
No, he didn't find the end zone, but just keep feeding them. Just keep eating. The offensive line eventually in the second half is going to wear
down.
Yeah, the Cowboys' old line is undefeated, so they were able to wear Baltimore down. Baltimore looked like they were going to put up a fight in the early part of this game.
They did.
Once they set that line on them, it kind of was like time to throw in the white flag.
Even in the fourth quarter,
Joe Flacco's press conference after the game.
No,
he said, "We should have beat this team. We're better than this team. I'm ticked off. We should have beat them. We're better than them."
Maybe next.
I like that.
Next year when he has confidence in his knee and his offensive line. Maybe he can
When they don't play the Cowboys.
Maybe they can rehash that. You know what I'm saying? But for right now, he's
this
not.
This was a weird game.
This
was a weird game. Look at what Baltimore did against Dallas yesterday. They had 14 carries for 82 yards.
Mm-hmm. Then stopped
Why
running.
Did they only have 14? And they had one touch. Like, it made no sense. Ezekiel Elliott in the second quarter had no carries. Like, there was a weird situations in this game. Baltimore got too pass heavy, and it's happened all year.
All year.
They throw the ball way too much.
We said this with Mark Trestman. We're saying this with Marty Morningweg. They throw the ball way too much. Good for Steve Smith owners, who finished with 8 for 99 and a touchdown.
Yeah,
and
he's bounced back nicely. And the thing with Elliott, like, if you're sitting there, you know, you get a bonus at like 100 yards.
Sure.
You know, you
and Smith.
97.
And Steve Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 99. Yeah, Steve Smith at 99, yo.
But Steve Smith, man, he just doesn't age.
For a running back, it's more frustrating because you feel like one more carry, you definitely get the 3 yards.
Or one more catch at 99 yards, which is equally frustrating.
I'm saying, though, that the running backs touch the ball, you know, guaranteed to touch the ball more frequently.
Some are.
A little bit more frustrating not to see the
Here's another situation.
I don't think it's more frustrating.
Well, you have two running backs. Two running backs on a team, yeah. And no balance to the offense.
It makes no sense, especially when they're running, like, as Tony mentioned, like this, 8 for 42 and 6 yeah. for 40. Yeah, Terrace West had a nice run to score that touchdown. It was a good run in the first half. This was, and it wasn't like it was a far game. It was a one-score game in the fourth quarter. It made no sense.
No, they abandoned the run, and you got to blame the coaching staff on that abandonment of the run. When you look at the rest of Baltimore,
yep.
I said, you know, on the morning show yesterday, you know, you can expect Dixon to have, you know, 7-8 targets, 5 or 6 catches. He had one target. So there you go, right? There. I'm sorry. That's my bad.
You apologize?
Yeah, I'm apologizing for Marty Morningwick.
What a
disaster. Why did they hire him? They was better off with Cam.
Cam Cameron was a long time ago.
Yeah, I know, but they
bring him back. Was Mark Trestman after Cam.
Well, Mark Trestman is a little bit
out. Yeah, Gary Kubiak after Cam.
Gary Kubiak was there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they should keep Gary Kubiak.
Yeah, but he went to be the Super Bowl winning head coach instead.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, Gary Kubiak got a bye this week. His former team, Houston, plays Monday Night Football tonight. We'll preview that later on. But coming up next, we continue going around the NFL, week number 11. Stick around. We'll be right back. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Remember, every single Monday, you can chat with Jake Seeley if you are an exclusive Edge package owner. And to do that, you go to RotoExperts.com right now. Purchase the Exclusive Edge package, playoff push. You want to make the playoffs, you want to know who to pick up, you go to the Exclusive Edge package, enter free radio checkout. You can chat with Jake, 11 a.m. Eastern time. You can chat all week. You can chat with the King later on this week. The answer expert, George Kurtz, as well. Corey Parson on Saturday. So, go to RotoExperts.com right now.
And my advanced scout tonight.
I didn't promote enough.
What?
That wasn't enough promotion for you?
Hey, look. You know, you brought it down the court. I gave you the final assist for the slam dunk.
All right, there you go. Let's talk to
some
you.
Some of us looked like.
Yeah.
You mentioned yourself, Scott. Some of us looked at it as not as a humble brag, but more of a self-prophesying yourself above everybody else.
Well, you know what? In the end, if it brings more money in the company, Kenny, I don't care how it's done.
844.
You can stick by that, Scott. You can stick by that story.
I think I will.
843-6879, 844-843-6879. Let's start with Mike in Chicago this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Mike?
I got some quarterback issues. Oh. Matt Stafford hasn't been getting it done the last couple times around. I had Tyrod on my bench, and I'm would have been even worse if I'd have played him. I'm wondering if I should pick up somebody like Bortles or Kaepernick. I don't know what to do with the QB position anymore.
Pick up Colin Kaepernick.
Bortles is getting a lot of volume, okay, too, though.
Yeah,
Bortles might not. He might not even play next week. He was injured in that game. He has to go to. He'll be evaluated today, and that shoulder was bothering him. There's no way I would pick him up.
Yeah.
And who does Kaepernick have next week?
Doesn't make a difference. Colin Kaepernick is performing at a QB1 level every week that he plays. Colin Kaepernick is inside the top 12 or right outside of it.
You got Stafford on a short week against Minnesota, too.
Silence.
I mean, I still like Stafford, but I think.
Yeah, I do, too.
Yeah, I still like Stafford. I mean, I wouldn't give up on Stafford yet either. And Minnesota doesn't scare me defensively, and it's Thanksgiving. So I think your choices would be stick with what you got and Tyrod Taylor's gonna be good too. Like you don't have a bad quarterback. You're not in dire straits.
The problem with Tyrod Taylor is he goes to Seattle as the game of his life. Then he plays Cincinnati, fifth worst against quarterbacks, and he doesn't have a good game.
Yeah,
he's up and down.
Then he had a couple of unfortunate situations too. Didn't he have a touchdown pass or two dropped? Didn't he have a touchdown run call back also?
Yeah, he did, you know, the numbers weren't there.
I don't know. I don't think Colin Kaepernick should be on the waiver wire, especially if he's a top 12 quarterback every week he plays.
Yeah. You know, I'd much rather have Kaepernick next week than Tyrod Taylor. Just Tyrod Taylor's on a throw to.
Kaepernick would rush. They both can rush for good yardage.
Sure. But,
you know, is it almost like we're talking about the same quarterback here? You know, they both can rush for good yardage and throw one touchdown pass every week.
I think Tyrod Taylor will give you more when it comes to
I feel like Tyrod will give you more of a floor, but I feel like there's a little bit more of a ceiling with Kaepernick.
Yeah, I think he's more efficient throwing the football. Go ahead, tell him, my bad.
Yeah, Detroit just played Minnesota 2 weeks ago. The game went to overtime, and Matt Stafford was 23 for 36. He only had 219 yards passing, but he did have two touchdown passes in that game 2 weeks ago.
So there you go. So you don't really have anything to worry about, Matt Stafford.
Stafford and Kaepernick.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you this. We're going to talk about this to start the 8 o'clock hour. You know who I will not be starting next week?
Who?
Marvin Jones.
It's over, huh?
I'm done.
It's over. You're getting off the ship, huh?
Probably. One catch and 15 yards yesterday.
One catch and 15 yards. I probably should have been off the ship long ago
instead
of getting drowned. But, yeah, I'm done.
Great reporting. Marvin Jones looks great. He's going to be the team's number one wide receiver. Yeah. He's going to be the man this year. He's going to take over. He looks fantastic in camp.
Well, the Detroit Lions, as we said, going at home against Minnesota on Thursday night, a fight for first place in an NFC North that seemingly nobody wants to win. I mean, Detroit wins yesterday against Jacksonville. They don't really look good. Minnesota wins against Arizona. That's a gift. Green Bay, they suck too. This team all suck. We'll talk about the NFC North when we return. Hour number two of the Road Express comes your way next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two, the Roto Experts in the Morning is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scotty Engel, Corey Parson, Tony Cincotta, we're all here with you, going 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We were talking a little earlier, gentlemen, just before the break, about the Detroit Lions and the NFC North, how nobody wants to win this division, and the Lions were gifted a win against Jacksonville yesterday in a game where Matthew Stafford did not throw a touchdown, where their running backs, Theo Riddick and Dwayne Washington, did less than nothing. Eric Ebron rushed for a touchdown. I mean, it was a brutal performance. And yet, Tony, the Lions walked away with a victory.
Yeah, they had a run back of a kick, and they had an interception return. So they came up big defensively in that contest. Theo Riddick, though, was back to being Theo Riddick.
Yes.
He got 8 catches for 70 yards on 10 targets. He only ran the ball 4 times, which was crazy because he's been getting the running back opportunities. They went with Dwayne Washington. We've seen this all year long. He averaged 0.5 yard a carry, which is amazing to me, in 13 carries. Stafford had 278 yards.
2 weeks.
Yeah, passing. Eric Ebron had the slowest run of anybody in the history of 61-yard runs. I would didn't see a time clock, but basically they played 3 commercials in that reception.
Marvin Jones and Golden Tate, Corey, both did nothing. Golden Tate, 3 for 27. Marvin Jones, 1 for 15. Yep.
When Theo Riddick is healthy, it's almost like these guys become secondary options, not to mention the fact you got Ebron out there, too.
No.
They wasn't really winging it like they normally are this game. Stafford threw the ball 33 times. I don't think – I hope Tate is still – and then Anquan Boldin got 9 targets yesterday too.
This is what my question was going to be. With Theo Riddick back rocking, right, 8 for 70, do we have something to worry about as Golden Tate owners?
Well, that's when Theo Riddick was getting the job done earlier this year.
Golden Tate
was the guy that wasn't getting anything. I think they might run similar routes.
Scotty?
Well, I watching some of this game now, I've seen like Riddick, you know, they'll toss him like a little bit of a flip screen or something like that. It's this team is like, it's maybe Green Bay sort of condensed, where, you know, they just throw the ball. They don't have a running game.
Right.
I think Riddick's always going to be involved. Yeah. It's very going to be very hard to predict with Tate and Marvin Jones. And maybe we did a disservice to Dwayne Washington by failing to mention that he did catch 2 balls for 15 yards.
Yeah, but he also...
Wait. Do we really do a disservice to him?
He ran 13 times for 6 yards. How is that possible? But I think you continue to roster and play and start Golden Tate.
Okay.
And,
you guys Minnesota on Thursday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just making sure.
Marvin Jones, though.
Yes.
If you're not playing Marvin Jones as a contrarian DFS play,
yes.
Is Marvin Jones in your lineup in the 12-team league?
At least this week he's not. I'm not playing against Minnesota this Thursday.
You're not going to?
Absolutely not.
You know Matthew Stafford is very good on Thanksgiving.
Oh, I understand that, but Marvin Jones has been awful. It's not just the Minnesota matchup. It's the fact that Marvin Jones has been brutal, Corey.
Okay, you're a Marvin Jones owner.
Yes.
All right, so you're biased.
Yes.
Scott, Marvin Jones is a starter for the rest of the season?
All I said was this week. I didn't say the rest
of
the season.
I'm a Marvin Jones owner, but, you know, it's very hard to start him when two catches for 20 yards in the last two with five catches for 53 in the last three. He had against Washington, he did have 4 for 94, but before that, 2 for 10, 4 for 37. Marvin Jones basically hasn't been good since week four, so I don't think he can start.
Yeah, I'm not a Marvin Jones owner. I don't think I wouldn't comfortably start him. What do you think, Tone?
Was the last time he caught more than four balls in a game. That game that he mentioned, he had a 52-yard catch.
Yep.
And he got the 94 yards.
That was when Josh Norman got hurt,
really,
right?
Yeah, really, there's been nothing happening here for a long time. So it's tough to go when he's such a physical presence. And we talked about this, though. People overrated him coming in. We go back to Cincinnati, and they were, you know, there weren't a lot of great receivers there, and he couldn't break through there. But all of a sudden, we thought in Detroit he was going to be the guy.
That's what the reporters told us in spring training camp.
Yeah. Spring training.
Then he got off to that good start. I wasn't big on Marvin Jones. I thought I was wrong. Now I feel right. It's like you go back and forth. You know, it's at the end of the year, then you finally find out whether you're right or you're wrong on it.
But as far as what the listeners need to know, I think the listeners probably already know. Put him on your bench.
Oh, so I don't think anybody can feel comfortable.
So you're agreeing.
See, this is a weird game for me, though, on Thanksgiving with the Marvin Jones situation. You saw the Washington numbers in the running game. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So Matthew Stafford's going to throw the ball 40 times. And if you go one-on-one with their top cornerback, he's going to cover Golden Tate. So I would, you know what, I might take a shot one more time with Marvin Jones.
Obviously, it depends on your other options are. And I'm lucky enough in a league I'll be able to start. Who am I starting?
Let me know how that lineup. Let's see.
It worked out well because I got Fat Rob on the team.
Who? You got Rob
Fat
Kelly.
Fat Rob, yeah. Okay. Kelly. So my running backs here are Rob Kelly and Devontae Freeman.
I like that.
You like that? I also got LeGarrette Blunt. We have two flexes and two wide receivers.
Okay.
So then my wide receivers are Jordy, Steve Smith, and Dante Moncrief. So no reason to start Marvin.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to stay there. Put him on the bench. That's a pretty solid team, Greg. Who's the quarterback on that team?
It is Marcus Mariota.
All right. What's your record? 6-5?
7-4.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That team's going to the playoffs.
You can shoot Marvin Jones and put him next to Barbaro after that.
That's not nice, Tony.
That is mean. That's mean.
For Marvin Jones or Barbaro?
Eric Ebron rushed for a touchdown, Scott. He also caught 3 for 70. Ebron's a tight end one.
Yeah, Ebron.
Yeah, he is. He was coming off a 7 catch games. You know, they're really going to get him involved. You know, the guy's had the talent. You know, looks like he's finally breaking through.
Yeah, if he's healthy, I like him a lot.
Yeah.
He's a good player. He's an all-airport team. He looks the role, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
If he's available, you get him on the field. He runs routes like a wide receiver. He's a good player.
He's a good player.
Big target.
Over for Jacksonville, Tony mentioned it before, but Blake Bortles hurt his shoulder early in this game, in the first half. Bortles did come back here in the second half. He never looked the same. He wasn't able to sling it like he normally does. TJ Yeldon also hurt himself. He was out, and Chris Ivory dominated the carry, 17 carries for 39 yards. Also led this team in receiving, much because of the shoulder injury to Blake Bortles, who couldn't sling it. 6 for 75. The wide receivers, Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee, saved their days with touchdowns. Allen Hurns, Julius Thomas, disaster.
Disaster. I had Hurns in the lineup yesterday.
Why would you have Hurns in the lineup at this point?
Because I had to. I had a team. I had a.
I thought you should cut Allen Hurns.
I'm not ready to cut Allen Hurns
yet.
Why? Because the volume in the passing game and the helter-skelter nature of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the way that this young man plays.
What do you see from Allen Hurns to keep him? Can I read you his last three games? Would you mind if I do that?
I you don't have to. I know it. You don't have to remind me.
I'm going to remind our listeners. Against Kansas City, where he left with a concussion, zero receptions on four targets. Against Houston, two receptions for 13 yards. Yesterday against Detroit, one for nine. Why is he on your team again?
Because I'm looking at my bench.
Yes.
I mean, my other wide receivers are Brandon LaFell, Phil Dorsett, and Jermaine Kearse.
I like Brandon LaFell now.
Yeah, with Brandon LaFell, more than likely to get in here. And then I had buys yesterday, too. I had Devontae Booker
right.
and Bilal Powell on a bye. So right. that's the reason why Allen Hurns was
He's
in the lineup.
He's only had two double-figure fantasy performances this year, and only one, that's PPR, and only one over 11 points.
Allen Robinson's been struggling, too, though.
No, He's been playing well lately,
but dude, let's not act like we're happy with what we've got for Allen Robinson.
I'm not saying we're happy with Allen Robinson. I'm just saying he's playing better than he has been, and certainly better than Allen Hurns.
Oh, yeah, he's playing better than Allen. He's a better player than Allen Hurns.
You know where Allen Hurns
But Marquise Lee is the one that has stepped up over Allen Hurns.
Yes.
That's the problem.
You know where Allen Hurns belongs?
On the way to Hawaii?
With
Tyler Lockett?
Tyler Lockett. Exactly.
Yeah. You guys were right on Tyler Lockett. Allen Hurns, one touchdown catch in his last six games.
Yeah, I mean,
was a guy that was touchdown dependent.
He was garbage.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that was that classic garbage time game when Blake threw the touchdown the last play of the game.
Yeah,
I think that touchdown was to Allen Hurns.
It was. Uh-huh. And the Jaguars are always in garbage time. Like, all the garbage time touchdowns last year, Scotty. They're still in garbage time.
Anytime the Jaguars play, it's garbage time.
Even if this guy is not hurt, though, you think he can still get benched? Tony, you're down there. What do you think? If he's not hurt, could he get benched?
No, it's funny. Yesterday, Chad Henne hadn't played it down in 2 years. Mm. So what happened is they sent Bortles to the locker room early to get his shoulder evaluated. And Chad Henne kneeled the ball down, and they had a big laugh. Like, you're in a football game, you're losing, and you're laughing. Like, you hadn't won a game in years. Yeah. Then the nose guard goes, fourth and two, right? Fourth and two, the Detroit Lions had the ball. Fourth and two on the 45-yard line. They got the lead, right? So they're not going to run a play.
Yep.
Everybody in the place knows it, and the guy goes offsides.
To Derek Morris.
Right? He goes a hard cut.
Right?
And the guy goes offsides.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Like,
Cedric Marks.
The same guy. Yeah,
Cedric
last
Marks,
week
yeah.
he was bitching.
Marks. Yeah.
He was bitching. He only played 26 plays, and the coaching staff doesn't know what they're doing. And then Gus Bradley, who's a guy that kisses everybody's ass and doesn't get mad at all, tore him up finally on the sidelines. I mean... He should have shot him.
It's funny.
Jeez, Tony.
Wow.
He should have sent him with Barbara, he says.
I mean, think about it. The guy's going to lose his job and his family's going to suffer because a guy can't stay on sides on fourth and two, and everyone in the stadium knows that there's not going to run a play. It's just going to be a hard count, and then they're going to punt.
Well, Troy Aikman was actually saying this a couple weeks ago, that when everybody knows they're not going to run a play, does this ever work, this stupid hard count? It only works against Jacksonville. It's unbelievable.
It was horrible. I mean, it was horrible to watch. And I'll tell you what, Allen Robinson's in real trouble if Bortles continues to play and that injury is there, because they threw everything within 5 and 10 yards, and he's not going to be able to get down the ball, field down. He got to hope that Henny's actually the quarterback if you're Allen Robinson. And I'm owning Allen Robinson on one team. So this is a tough play.
Tough spot there for Allen Robinson. Guys, what about with T.J. Yeldon's injury? What about Chris Ivory here, Scotty? Yeldon was out. Ivory was the main bell cow here. 2 weeks ago, he was the biggest pickup of the week. Last week, he did nothing. What about Chris Ivory here, Scotty?
He's going to catch some passes out of the backfield. It certainly helps. It shows that he can do it. But with Ivory, you know, again, we're not going to have the buys, starting next week. So in a lot of cases, you know, you may not have to use Ivory. He's been hard to rely on.
He has been hard to rely on, and you never know what to expect here from this Jaguars offense, because when they're in garbage time at the beginning of the game, as you mentioned, Scotty, they'll be slinging it around. The Jaguars need a regime change desperately. Desperately. In my opinion, the Bears really desperately need a regime change as well. They fought the Giants here yesterday in a game that I was at yesterday.
Oh, you went to the game?
I went to the game yesterday.
Nice. All right. That was last minute?
It was Saturday. A friend texted me, and she goes, hey, I'm not going to the game. You want to buy my tickets at face value? I was like, you know what? I do want to buy your tickets at face value. So,
okay.
Section 104 in the end zone, but lower bowl, though, so that was cool. Very cold.
And I'm about to say it probably was freezing out there.
Very
right?
cold game. But
who'd you go with?
I went with my buddy Keith.
Okay.
who is actually a loyal listener to the show.
Oh, all right. So, what's up, Keith?
He's a big fan of you, Tony Zagata.
Really? Did you try to haggle him down in price?
That's no. No, I did. She gave me a number, and I said it was fine.
There's something behind that question.
No, I would have done it. If they called me, it's you know right before the game time.
It was Friday night or Saturday morning, so I had some time.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. All right, they had time. I thought it was Sunday morning, you know.
Right.
Like waiting for the scalpers, you know, you're closer to the game. Comes down a little bit. And so, you know, I know how you treated your friend when they had a death in the family. So I figured you might have haggled them down.
Let me ask you this, Tony, and I know I probably shouldn't ask Scotty, but I'll ask you first. Because, so I got these tickets on Friday night. I go to my girlfriend and I'm like, listen, I'm going to the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
She says, where are you going with Keith? She goes, well, why didn't you ask me? I go, why did I ask you?
Oh.
And I was like, you know, when I told her what I spent on the tickets, she's like, oh, yeah, I wasn't spending that on tickets. I certainly wasn't going to buy her a ticket. I mean, it was, yeah.
So your birthday was just this week.
So my question to you is if I did anything wrong here.
No, I don't think it did. This is tough, though. This is a tough play because I'm like you. Like when sometimes you want to go out with guys, like certain things, like football, is things like that. And but it's hard to explain that when she's interested in football, and that's why I think a lot of times, like I don't want to date or I don't want to be involved in a relationship sometimes with people that love sports because then there's no break whatsoever.
Corey was talking about that last week.
Yeah, it's no break. Greg, I think you probably should have offered. But not offered, but hey, you know, homeboy is selling me these tickets. He got two. It's gonna be freezing out there though, so I'm gonna ask Keith if he wants to go. You know, that's how I went at it.
You know, I got it easy. If I ask my wife to go to football games, she's just gonna say no.
Right. So I didn't. Yeah. The funny thing is, I never crossed my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, it was gonna be freezing out. I knew she didn't want to spend any money, and like what like. She doesn't want to go to the game. She wants to eat. She wants to go to the game to eat. She doesn't want to go to watch the game.
Yeah, exactly. So, no.
Well, that's part of the atmosphere. Sure. You know, nowadays they have sausages running around the fields and things like that.
Too cold to sit in this in the middle.
It was cold yesterday, man. It was cold.
You had good seats, though.
We did.
Yeah.
We did have pretty good seats. So we'll talk about this Giants-Bears game. On the other side, I'll tell you what I saw from the game, my live action report. I'll ask Scott Angle.
There you go.
We'll do it next here on the Roto Experts. Back here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Greg Sussman, Scott Angle, Corey Parson. So he's caught with a fake U2 here. Always love hearing that one. That's what it sounds like.
That's right on point.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Giants and the Bears yesterday. Giants win 22-16. And the Giants improve to 7-3. Winning four in a row now. Go for five in a row next week against Cleveland. You know how petrified I am of this game, Corey?
I thought this was a five-game winning streak.
Five-game winning streak? I thought it was a four-game winning streak. Maybe it was a five-game winning streak. Now I'm confused. But they go for whatever, five or six in a row, whatever, against Cleveland. One, two, three, four, five. And it's five in a row.
Five-game winning streak.
Go for six against Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
Got to keep pace with America's team.
Got to keep pace with America's team. Exactly. Eli Manning throws for
when did he play?
The Redskins.
The end last
the Redskins
game, right?
Are America's team.
Giants and the Cowboys play
in three weeks
on Sunday Night Football.
You know what? These Washington fans are saying, you know, we don't want to do it away our tradition. Rename the team the Washington Hawks. How's that? That's tradition.
Corey's got nothing.
Fans call themselves the Hawks. He hates Washington.
Yes.
Yeah, Greg, can you? I got a friend that listens to our show. And he's a little crazy.
Right.
So take this question in context.
Yes.
Look at the economic disparity in sports stadiums. Who fills the seats? A sea of white people. How many non-white people were there at the Giants game yesterday?
I didn't count, so I don't have an answer for you.
You say next time you go, please take a count for him.
I'm going to count next time. I'll tell you what. I go to the Jacksonville game when it's like a Monday or Thursday night game, and it seems like to me it's there are all types of people there.
Sure.
You know, in a place there. The Giants games, I don't know, maybe the Giants, though. See, here's the difference. The Giants have had families and generations, right, of season ticket holders.
Sure.
And there's not a lot of available tickets there, so you got to take everything into account when that goes into play right there. There's just not a lot of tickets for Giants games.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think, for your friend that wants to know, what is the point that he's trying to make with the customers?
To be honest, he hates everybody. I think he's saying that the black people don't attend NFL games.
Well, they're on the field playing number one, and then you also have the people that work inside the stadium are also probably minorities
and outside the stadium.
So you know you have they're contributing to the game day experience, and we're here for your entertainment.
I just want people to know that's nothing I set up. Like we just fell into that
we
one.
We completely just fell into that one.
Let's get back to the game.
For more from the Diversity Corner, Corey Parson will be here all week.
Yeah.
Pesco.
Rashad Jennings, 21 carries, 85 yards yesterday. Also had 5 for 44 through the air. Corey,
if they can remain doing this.
What's your trust level here, Rashad Jennings, from a fantasy perspective?
You saw him last year come on like this.
Yes.
If 1 to 10, I would say 6.5, whereas last week it was 5.5. Next week it could be 7.5. This is a very good New York Giant football team. And if they get some balance on this, they get some balance on this team. I think they're the number 3 team in the NFC. They're excellent on defense. We know what Eli Manning has been able to do. They just don't have no balance in the offense. But when you see Rashad Jennings in 21 carries and 4 yards a pop, that has to make it a little bit better. Sterling Shepard getting 11 targets was a product of...
I don't think it's a product of anything, to be honest with you.
It was double coverage on Odell Beckham.
There was double coverage on Odell Beckham, but Sterling Shepard, I think, over the last 3 games now, has kind of established a floor of what he is. He doesn't score a touchdown every game like he has, but this 5 or 50...
That's good. This works for
There's nothing wrong with
this. Works
I
for
feel
me.
Like when Eli's in on a key down, if Odell's not there...
I agree with you.
I'm going to Sterling Shepard.
I tend to agree with that.
I agree with that, too. Also good to see Rashad Jennings get 6 targets, 5 catches. He had a big...
A big game
yesterday.
Really nasty stiff arm too on one of those runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think he's emerging like he did down the stretch last year. Now let's talk about Odell Beckham.
Let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr. 5 for 46 yesterday on 7 targets, second on the team behind Sterling Shepard.
Okay, now this is a guy that was going what two or three in most
sometimes
drafts.
Sometimes one. Rare,
that would be foolish
sometimes.
To go one.
Yeah, in my league, someone's like Odell one.
Okay, yep. This a low, you know, a giant league. Uh-huh. Okay, mm-hmm. Now when you look at the numbers on the season, Odell Beckham, I think, has been a disappointment.
Odell, see, if you look at the numbers on the seasons, I don't know if you can say that. So he's got 59 for 8-19-6 on the year.
8-19 is a good number for this time of year.
That's a good number
with
now.
That 59.
All right, hold on. So let me compare it to Julio Jones, just because that's who he was drafted with, right?
Okay.
It was 2 or 3, right? So Odell's got 59. Mm-hmm. Julio Jones got 61.
Okay.
Comparable.
All right.
Julio's got 1,105 yards.
That's crazy.
Odell's got 8-19.
Which is not bad.
I know where Corey's going now.
Julio,
I,
1 second. Yeah. Julio has 5 touchdowns. Odell's got 6.
Okay.
It's comparable.
But break down the numbers, though. I know where Corey is going. Against Baltimore on October 16th, he has a 222-yard game, right? Built around this. Look at this. I know where Corey's going.
But
hold on.
Julio had a 300-yarder,
to be fair. Hold on.
I'm holding.
He had the 200. I'm telling Corey to hold on.
Okay.
222-yard game. I know you're going with this. The 2 games before that, right, 23 and 56 yards. The 3 games after that, 3 of the next 4 after that, 3 of its last 4 since that, he hasn't cracked the 50-yard mark.
I want to see what his average, his per game average is. Because
so the consistency
I got it right here.
Is now
17.
Is 17.49,
which is crazy because it puts him 8th in the league. But he's tied. All these guys have 17 points per game. Larry Fitzgerald, Amari Cooper, T.Y. Hilton, Odell Beckham Jr., Stephon Diggs, and Jordy Nelson, all averaging 17 points per game.
Yeah. Odell Beckham Jr. didn't score for the first 4 weeks either.
No, he did not. Now, to be fair, Scotty, to your point, Julio Jones around his 300-yard game, a 1-for-16 against New Orleans the week before, and the week after against Denver, a 2-for-29 affair. Later on against Green Bay, of all people, 3-for-29. So
how many is he averaging per game?
He's not averaging a lot more, though.
Julio Jones averages 20 points per game.
Yeah. So I'm not
saying. He's 20, and Mike Evans is number two in the league, actually, at 20.66.
Okay.
He's only half a point behind Antonio Brown.
And the thing about it is, with Mike Evans, I can't wait till we talk about the Tampa Bay game.
Yep.
Because if you're not with me yet. If you're not with me yet, you're never going to be with me. Jameis Winston is the real deal. Raise your hand if you think he's not.
Well, I don't know what the real deal means.
Come on, Tony.
Also, no one can see if we're raising our hands.
Nobody in the room raised their hands.
It's a real deal.
I couldn't see if Tony was raising his hand or not.
Yeah, like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, those guys. Like, is he the next step down? Is that what you're trying to say?
I think he is ascending. He has to show some wins in the playoffs and stuff like that. But I think he's ascending to where he's rising. He's a rising quarterback in this league. I mean, listen, that wasn't the prettiest victory yesterday.
No.
You know he's going to get you a couple Jameis Winston turnovers.
Yep.
But to come back and lead that team to victory the way he did, I thought that was impressive. That's a big-time win on the road yesterday. Now, Mike Evans looks like he's having a great season, right?
Yeah.
You know, really, he really isn't. he really isn't having that good of a season. He's catching a little more than half of his targets. He really should be like by far the best wide receiver in the NFL this year.
But isn't that Jameis Winston's fault? Your boy Jameis Winston is an ascending player.
He leads the NFL in drops again. Mike Evans.
But he's also not being targeted nearly enough, in my opinion.
Evans not being targeted enough. Evans is the most targeted receiver in the league.
But what about the first quarter?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
That's
why I think Mike Evans, though, has so many drops, right? Doesn't he get more pass-catching opportunities than everybody else? Put it this way.
It's like hitting it to shortstop, you know, and like a guy who has great range, but he has more errors.
I don't think Evans is the most talented. Like, that upper echelon of wide receivers, there's four of them now. You got to put Mike Evans in that category.
Okay.
He's not as talented as those other three guys. Like, he doesn't run as fast. He doesn't jump as high. But somehow he just makes plays, and he drops a lot of balls. But he gets targeted so much, Gorge, and he's covered on every single play, it seems like, because he can't outrun anyone. Don't you think that leads to a lot of his drops?
Maybe that's what it is, the fact that he is in a little bit tighter coverage. Don't get me wrong, I own him everywhere. I think he's having a fantastic season. I'm taking the points all the time. But I think he could be having an even better season. Like an Antonio Brown type season.
Mike Evans saves Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mike Evans saves Christmas. But I'm impressed with him and Jameis. I think Evans could be doing more as far as catching and converting on these targets. But I'm in love with Jameis Winston. I think he's getting it done.
I know you are.
I'm not in love with him like that.
Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston?
Well, he always takes Winston in this conversation.
5 years from now?
He always takes Winston.
Oh, Winston. Yeah. In 5 years, Winston to be probably in the top three in the league.
Yeah, see, Corey loves Jameis Winston.
What's the top three in the league 5 years from now?
Right. Andrew Luck.
Well, let's do this in February.
Okay.
I'm curious. It'll take him 2 seconds to answer.
Andrew Luck, Jameis Winston.
It's a quarterback we've never heard of yet.
Russell Wilson.
There you go. You didn't say Dak Prescott. You got number one.
I didn't want to sound biased. I couldn't leave Russell Wilson out.
You forgot the 41-year-old Eli Manning.
Yeah, exactly.
How old is Brady going to be then?
Oh,
right?
Yeah, you got about
42.
Brady's going to be 42. We'll still be good.
Let's go back to the Bears here for a second before we get all in that Chiefs-Buck game. Zach Miller breaks his foot after 3-for-61 and a touchdown. Made a nice play on the touchdown right through that seam of the Giants' defense. Miller breaks his foot, which, again, opens up Eddie Royal and Cam Meredith. Not a good call by you on Eddie Royal. Corey.
Yeah, and you were with me on Eddie Royal. Eddie Royal saw three targets in this game, but I think, you know, we'll see a little bit more from Eddie Royal. I mean, Cutler really spread the ball out, got everybody involved in this situation. Most impressed with Jordan Howard. 17 carries, 77 yards, 4.5 a pop.
Eight targets out of the backfield.
And then eight targets.
Yeah, that's the part that made no sense.
Yeah.
Only converted on one, though, which is intriguing. But he's definitely a player in this offense. They want to get him the football. They want to get him involved. And
then they gave the ball to Jeremy Langford at the goal line.
I know. That was like the ultimate disrespectful vulture. Like how it literally takes them all the way down the
field. See, but that happens a lot in the NFL. Yeah. If a guy has a long run, they want to give him a breather. They send him to the sideline and they throw somebody else
in. But my thing with that is this. I don't know what kind of incentives he has built into his contract. See, I'm type of guy where I'd be like, hold up. You know, you throw it out of bounds.
It's a rookie deal. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, it's a rookie deal. I understand what you're saying. But if you got touchdown incentives in your contract, I'm like, this is ridiculous.
I don't think they do that in the NFL.
You don't think so?
No.
I'm pretty sure
they do not do that in the NFL.
Not look into that.
I know you could have like Pro Bowl incentives or MVP incentives. I don't think you could have touchdown incentives.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's kind of illegal in the NFL for whatever
reason. Why would that be illegal?
I don't know. Just it kind of is.
The Patriots kneeled on the ball yesterday at the 1 yard line.
Well, to be fair, they gave LeGarrette Blount 2 chances at it at the end of the game.
I know, and then they nailed it. Like, did someone inform them of the point spread?
I don't know what happened, but they did try twice.
Yeah, LeGarrette Blount had this long 40-plus yard run, and it was funny because, like, if he had any sort of speed, he would have been gone.
Was that?
I'm going to tell you right now that's the difference between Belichick and Fox. He looked for 124 yards, Blount, right? And he's been carried all season long. So they gave him 2 opportunities to punch it in. And then him and Chip Kelly are friends. So I knew they didn't want to punch it in. But they wanted to take care of Blount. And then once he didn't get in, then they nailed it on 4th down. But you could see that situation. Fox, you have a guy like Howard, instead of rewarding him for that touchdown, you give it to someone else.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You saw it at the end of the Redskins game last night, right? Redskins were up. Rob Kelly runs 66 yards. And instead of kneeling down,
they
pounded it in with Rob Kelly again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was shocked they did that. Same. And I was shocked that Kelly stayed in the game after a long run because you always see the guy come out.
Yep.
But I give Gruden a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, me too. I absolutely with you guys there.
But so, during the broadcast last night, they were really acting like Gruden was like the second coming of Tom Landry. I mean, relax. You know what I'm saying?
with Zach Miller's injury here, guys. Mm. Eddie Royal can't hurt again, right? Is that all there is?
It's the same thing, but it's the same thing. You see, they're going to spread the football out. The top 2 guys, Kevin White and Alshon Jeffery, obviously out. They're going to spread it around, I think Cam Meredith is probably your best bet, followed by Eddie Royal, and then after that, I can't really tell
Marcus
you.
Marcus Wilson came back yesterday, did have 1 for 35, burned Eli Apple bad on that last drive for Chicago, so he's there too.
Yeah.
That's it.
It was great to see Bill Bellamy return after his MTV career had folded for wide receiver for the Bears.
it was good to see him, Josh Bellamy, back in action indeed. Hey, when we come back, we'll talk about Corey's favorite player in the NFL, famous Jameis, next in the Roto Experts. Back here, Roto Experts in the morning. Kirk Cousins saying to the GM, Scott McConaghan, "How you like me now?" And he's going to get paid. So I'd say that they like him quite a bit. Also read a report, Tony, and we'll talk about the Patriots a little bit later on. Josh McDaniels has no interest in ever leaving New England because he expects to be Belichick's successor.
Bill, I don't know what he's got planned. If he's all of a sudden going to, walk away, he could be one of those old school guys that, I don't know. They say he enjoys himself off the field, but a lot of these guys coach football their whole lives. His dad was a coach. I don't think sometimes you just don't know what to do after that, and he might never leave. That could be a bad move by Josh.
Yeah, it certainly could be, especially because McDaniels can basically get any job he wants right now. And he's
Bill Belichick was, he was a failed first-time head coach. And
right.
McDaniel fell in the same way, fell in love with Tim Tebow.
Yep.
And it all went downhill there, but he learned from that mistake, Belichick, and they put together a career that probably unsurpassed in the National Football League.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely true. Hey, remember, you go to RotoExperts.com today and chat with Jake Seeley. Comes up at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. The Olin Kid answers your questions with, are there any gifts in this chat? Is he able to send his gifts?
I don't know. You have to ask Jake about that.
All right. Well, you can ask Jake inside the chat.
He probably does it. Jake is a GIF kind of guy.
All right. Yeah. You say GIF, huh?
Yeah.
I say GIF. What do you say?
Yeah.
GIF.
You say GIF. Tony, what do you say?
I say GIF, too.
Jif. Huh. Jif is the stuff I put on bread.
Right, yeah, but I always forget what the actual term is. Jif, GIF, they're interchangeable.
Me too.
Yeah. Hey, you can purchase the exclusive Edge package available now. It's playoff push. RotoExperts.com. Check out with free radio. You get a little money off, under $10 for your exclusive Edge package. Did we have an announcement coming last week? Was there a big announcement you were coming?
Yeah, it's not coming yet.
Oh, keep
us
waiting.
I'll let you know.
All right. You got something good going on, though, you said.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I look forward to that, Scott.
Our friend Tim McCullough, the managing editor of Roto Experts, working on something nice.
All right. I'm excited for that. Yeah. Famous Jameis here, Corey.
Yep, yep.
Goes into KC, and I said KC is one of the best teams in the NFL. Goes in the Arrowhead and beats the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
1917, Alex Smith threw a brutal pick in that fourth quarter. Really halted the comeback attempt. Did later throw a touchdown here to Albert Wilson. Zeus went off, 7 for 108. Spencer Ware could not find the end zone, which is very, very frustrating because he had his chances.
He had chances at the end zone, and I need this kid to score some touchdowns.
Me too, man.
I mean, I'm satisfied with him, what he's been all season and how he's played, but
nice
I got
guy.
Him on several teams, but I need you to get in the end zone, dog.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is,
yeah,
this
do
is too
better
important.
Reception-wise, too.
Yeah, it's too important. Yeah, exactly. It's too important at this time of year. So, anyway, like you said, Scotty, he had the two catches. But Tyreek Hill, this is more like it. 4 for 53, not 10 for whatever the case
may
be.
But that's not 4 for 53 is not bad. I mean,
no, it's
that's
not.
Okay.
But I want to see Alex Smith start involving the playmakers. This is why Alex Smith is 17-3.
Right.
Unless I said Smith.
Yeah, no, yeah. You're right. You're right.
Okay, 17-3
is good enough to lose with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, you got Travis Kelce involved. Let the guys that can make the plays.
Which he did.
You know, don't fool with Tyreek Hill. Let the guys that can make the plays like Kelce, who was on my bench yesterday. Let him get the work. Now, with that being the case, typical pedestrian workman type Alex Smith game. But you look at the quarterback on the other side.
Before you do this.
now that's a playmaker quarterback
That's a golden guy.
Yeah.
Sharkadrick West left this game. Concussion protocol. Spencer Ware, man. Spencer Ware.
It's his gig.
Still love it. All right, please.
It's his game.
Preach poetic.
It's his game. It's his thing. You look at the performance Jameis Winston put on yesterday. Going into Kansas City and getting the W over this team. This is the type of big time, big games I'm talking about for him. Now, fantasy-wise, he only threw one touchdown. Didn't throw no picks. Did fumble the football earlier. But I just think the moxie and the savvy of Winston to go in there and get this win, this is a kid that's going to be a big-time NFL quarterback for years to come. He's got the perfect system around him. Got the target in Mike Evans. Now, the running game is going to have to get better because Doug Martin, even with 24 carries, didn't look all that impressive yesterday. But I think it's some pieces and some weapons on the offense. We knew Brate wasn't going to be a big play because of how the Kansas City Chiefs handled the tight end. But if he can get another wide receiver on the opposite side of Mike Evans, I really think, and with Cutter's doing, I really think they got an offense that can move and groove and go forward in the future. 39 attempts yesterday against the Kansas City Chiefs. To come away from that with a 80 QBR quarterback rating, I think, was pretty good from Jameis Winston. They had the tomahawk chop going inside.
He said that fired him
up. Yes, it reminded him of being in Tallahassee.
It
reminded him of being in Tallahassee.
They would give him a tomahawk chop. He's like, oh, man, I remember my time in Florida State. And
listen, it's the truth.
Get the hell out of here.
Greg, it's a comfortable environment, Greg. If you're hearing that, you're like, listen.
I think Jameis was saying, he's saying, these fans were trying to deride me, but, I actually enjoyed it.
So could Jameis Winston go play for the Braves now, too?
He probably could play for the Braves.
By the way,
Jameis Winston's a pitcher.
Wait a minute.
He's a pitcher. Yes, he is a pitcher.
Wait a minute. Wouldn't he be more comfortable if the police were around?
Jameis Winston
more,
had
more comfortable on crab legs.
Jameis Winston has had his incidents off the field, mainly due to youth and immaturity. But now we're seeing Jameis Winston become a man that can go in to Kansas City and knock off the Chiefs like this. This is one of the most impressive victories of the season.
Most impressive victories of the season, Corey.
Doug Martin averaged less than 3 yards a carry yesterday.
Yeah. But the thing here, yes, Tony.
I don't want to have a parade yet. Marcus Peters was out for this game.
Yes, he was.
City, right? The top defensive back was out. They put up 19 points. Like you said, the passing numbers weren't great statistically from a completion percentage. But he won the game. That's the most important thing. When it comes to, and he won a game in a tough environment against a good team, you can get that. But this is the problem. This is more – as much as we want to give Winston credit, this is the indictment on the Kansas City Chiefs, and this is why nobody thinks they're going far. They can't, you know, 17 points is it. That's what they do.
Yep.
And you can't keep winning games in today's NFL putting up 17 points.
Yeah, well, you better tell the host out of bounds what their record is, and what Alex Smith's record is. It's like another loss on it yesterday. Tampa Bay is now only a game behind Atlanta. You know, they're in that division race.
Yeah, no, Tampa Bay is clearly in the race. They're better than Philadelphia. They're better than any team. In my opinion, they're better than all the teams in the North.
Yeah, that's fair.
See, the reason I don't think they're better than Philadelphia, their defensive backs are terrible.
Atlanta,
they're similar to
Philly.
A tough matchup.
They're very similar to Philly, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. They're like Philly and Tampa.
If everybody's healthy, I like Philly's running game better.
Are they better than Arizona?
Yeah, I like.
They are better than Arizona. Arizona's terrible.
Arizona's
crazy. Arizona.
It's not about talent on paper.
It's only an indictment on the quarterback position. If you look at that Arizona and you really break it down, it's only the quarterback position that's really subpar, and it's bringing the whole team down.
It is.
Are they better than Washington?
No, they're not better than
Washington has more moxie on offense than they do.
And better defense.
And Washington is probably better defensively also.
Yeah,
I mean, they'll be in a fight till deep into it. But they'll have to win the division, and I think they've already played Atlanta twice. Do they have another matchup with Atlanta?
Well, they played Atlanta opening night, right? Opening day, beat them.
Winston had four touchdown passes in that game.
They played Atlanta in week one.
Yeah.
Yeah, about the opener, yeah.
And they played.
He had three touchdown passes in the second game.
I think they already played twice
Okay, they already played twice, so yeah, they'll need some help.
They beat the Falcons 31-24 game one. Later on in the season, they lost 43-28.
That was the 43-28. That was Thursday Night Football, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You do know, however, they do go and play New Orleans twice.
They got two games with New Orleans. Now, here's the thing about the two games they have with New Orleans. I've already looked into this as a Mike Evans owner.
And a James Winston agent.
Fan.
Yes.
That game is week 17.
That is not week 17.
They don't play the Saints on week 17?
They do not. The Saints week 16.
They play the Saints. Oh, that's even better.
Nice.
So Mike Evans gets the Saints defense on week 16?
Yes, sir. Yes. You make the finals awesome. Here in a good spot.
Yes, that is awesome.
How about this? In the Superdome.
In the Superdome?
Yeah.
So when is Atlanta? Atlanta must play New Orleans in week 17.
That's possible.
So Julio doesn't get another crack at them. Okay.
Tampa Bay plays Carolina week 17.
Okay. So, yeah, Atlanta will play New Orleans then.
This week they're home against Seattle, Tampa Bay. I mean, I'm interested in seeing that one.
I think Jameis shows up. Well, you know Cam Chancellor is back. Relax your nerves, everybody.
He's playing.
when Cam Chancellor plays, Cam Chancellor's Lawrence Taylor, so he can change the game by himself. But I would love to see my guy Jameis Winston hang an L on the Seattle Seahawks. That'd be awesome.
We'll see it. We will see.
Who's Dallas play next week?
Dallas plays Washington on Sunday. The Cowboys.
Thursday. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it is going to be.
When was the last
time
we had a good Thanksgiving game like that one?
Probably that one. They played that when those two teams played. Robert Griffin.
Yeah.
Robert Griffin was the quarterback.
Well, that was good.
I remember
that
game.
Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Dez had an unbelievable touchdown in that game. But I think the best recent game, Thanksgiving game, was when your man Mike, that cheating ass Mike Tomlin stepped on the field.
Oh, sure.
That was Thanksgiving night.
Didn't we have, the Lions blow a bad one to Green Bay? Didn't Green Bay, there's a good Green Bay-Detroit game a couple years ago.
I think that sounds about right also.
Been a lot of bad Lions.
But see, but like everyone says that, there's been a lot of bad games, but I don't really think there has. I think we just don't remember the good ones.
I'm saying usually the ones involving the Lions have not been good.
but I think you're going. I don't agree with you. I think you're going way too far back. I think like the Matthew Stafford era, it's been fine. It's like because the Lions aren't as boring as they used to be.
Yeah, Joe Ferguson lit it up a couple times too.
When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, let's take a look at the New England Patriots in San Francisco, a game that was probably closer than a lot of people expected. We'll talk about the Pats and the Niners next here on the Roto Experts. How about this? A couple of things I wanted to bring up here. Not to call people out, but I'm going to call people out anyway.
All right, go ahead.
So, I believe it was... I'm going to have this up, actually, because I could read it perfectly. So, Rob Kelly, that's all he did last night, right?
Kells.
24 for 137-3. So, this is how Roto World described it. okay? Our friends Evan Silva, Raven Silverlin, all these guys. They all describe it like this. It sounds like a huge game, but Kelly's stats were inflated by a 66-yard run on a bad overcommit from the Packers with Washington trying to kill the clock on their final drive, whatever. He was tackled on the 4-yard line, blah, 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 blah. Here we'll get to the important part. Kelly doesn't get more than what's blocked, but he's going to continue playing ahead of Matt Jones for now. He'll be an RB2 week 12 against Dallas. Okay. I read that and I was like, well, I thought he looked better than that, personally.
I did too.
But that was me. Fine. So, just now, 8 minutes ago, Corey, your boy Mike Clay tweeted this.
Mm-hmm.
Just read the phrase, quote, doesn't get more than what he's blocked about Rob Kelly.
Yeah.
Who is clearly one of the best in the NFL after contact. Hashtag, come on, man. Mike Clay throwing shade at Evan Silva.
Wow, like a fantasy, a nerd beef.
Yeah, I gotta tell you what, Roto World has gone so far downhill because it used to be a news site, right? And they would just break down exactly what's happening. Now when they start putting their opinions in because, you know, all of a sudden there's more and more media and Roto World's just something that used to be there, that used to be the top. I'll tell you what, it's gone way downhill, and it drives me crazy. I know Ray Summerall. I like Ray Summerall.
I like Ray Summerall.
Cool guy. But
I knew him when he was nobody, and he was calling in Blog Talk Radio and say, please, listen to me. I know something. And now he's got a great forum, and he's done a great job, but these guys got to get with it. They got to figure out what they are. Are they basically a news service, or are they putting their crazy opinions out there for people?
Yeah, they editorialize a lot on the player updates. Yeah.
Honestly, the editorialize is one of the reasons I go there. I think it's hilarious. I find them hysterical.
As far as Rob
Greg, but...
Yes.
Why? But don't you believe? See.
Yes.
We need information. We just need updates. That's all we want from them. Yeah, I don't want
a little spin. But give me the
update. Give me the source. I don't need to hear he's a low end wide receiver 3. I'm fine with that.
Oh
yeah. Who are you? That's some intern writing that. I don't want this. It is not an intern.
Who's
writing that?
The guy, Ray Summerlin's running it.
Really?
Roto Pat's running it. Evan Silva's running it. We talked to them about this.
I'm okay with them saying he's a wide receiver 3 because. Maybe not for you or me, but the reader needs to know that.
Okay.
You know, I'm saying, you know, when they inject their sense of humor in there, whatever, it's unnecessary. And far as Rob Kelly goes, watching that game last night, that kid was, like, really picking and sliding within short space. He was not just taking what was blocked.
That 66-yard run was not to the hole that play was designed to. He actually cut back to the left, and we had a great run on that play. So, yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, so...
I'm tired of them.
Apparently Mike Clay is too.
So I don't agree. I actually find their some of their ridiculous comments hilarious.
Yeah. You can get on board.
I just want stats.
I don't. I like the humor. Like when Julio Jones.
I could figure the rest of the shit out. I mean, if people want humor, they can listen to the Roto Experts in the morning.
Boom! Give me a bell, Scotty.
Yeah. Well, he's actually got a good point though because. I don't want to see that kind of humor in a player up there. I think it's necessarily if you like the sense of humor of somebody in Roto World, read one of their columns.
Well, I like reading. I like seeing the updates. Obviously, more people check out the updates than they do the columns
because they want the information.
Sure, but I like the humor too. I think it's hilarious.
I can't believe Greg, you are the only person, and I challenge anyone out there. Call us 844-843-6879. If you go to Roto World for a player update because it's humorous, I need to talk to you because doing something wrong.
I get what Greg is saying. Greg is like it gives him a laugh throughout the course of his day.
Yes. Yeah. So let me read you this, okay? Really? I know I save a lot of these because I find them that funny.
Yeah.
For real. So this is about Matt Kane from last May. Continued a recent roll of hot starts in Saturday's win, blah, blah, blah. It might be time to start considering Kane for a short-term fantasy. Then they gave his numbers. It's difficult to look past a 5.37 ERA and a 1.46 whip, and there appears to be small bits of life spouting up from the wreckage, much like how small plants began to sprout in the aftermath of the 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens. See? How is that not funny?
Yeah, I get it. It's for the humor and that part of it.
I think a different thing to different people. Yeah. My reaction to that, that's just stupid. I just
I agree, Scott. So if I go to Fantasy Alarm and I read Jeff Mann's column, or Ray Flowers, and I read that, it's funny.
Right.
If I go to Roto World and I want my little piece of update just to see if Matt Cain's shoulder fell off and I read that, I want to throw my effing laptop to the window.
I don't know. I find it funny. I find it humorous.
There's a time and a place for everything.
It's different updates for different people, I guess.
I think different strokes for different folks is what you were looking for, Scotty?
I was trying to frame one in a player update sort of vein there.
It's the same concept. I'm actually going through my phone now looking at...
You actually save these things?
Yes!
What are you sitting on?
Here we go. Okay, here's another one. This is from last November, November of 2015. The Sacramento Bees' Matt Barrows guesses the 49ers will play three-headed monster of Kendall Gaskins, Pierre Thomas, and Sean Drone at running back in Week 9 against the Falcons. Our popcorn is ready.
That's funny.
They say that constantly on
there.
They say that constantly on there.
Scott, not for nothing. Don't be talking about guys running material through the ground.
No.
I can't keep up with you. I can't keep up with you, Tony. You know, you're a stand-up comedian. You keep it fresh.
I'm just talking.
You know, I'm not on your level of being a stand-up comic.
Why don't we
there.
Do a whole show on Roto World like we used to do with the New York Daily News, Scott? You and Adam, can we do that with Roto World?
We can. Oh, yeah, with me and you host.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Why do you save the updates?
Because there's funny.
For this show.
Like this one.
Do you sit with your friends at the bar and like you know well,
no,
go over Roto World?
No,
updates?
I take a screenshot and then send it to them and we laugh.
Yeah.
Here's another one for you, Corey. Because Corey, you're getting a kick out of these. Julio Jones is not listed on the Falcons' Week 7 injury report. Bleedy Rat.
What does that mean?
It's some guy that was on the team at the time.
Come on, they're funny.
They're just funny.
Roto World. If we was to take on Roto World the way we took on the Daily News, we might get some kickback from the industry.
I like Roto World. I like those guys.
We never made fun
when
of them.
When is that ever? Hold on.
We never
time
made
out.
Fun of them. Oh.
Yeah, partnership right
when
there.
When does...
What's up, Tone?
When has kickback in the industry ever stopped any one of us, including our president, Lou Mayone?
That's true, too. You're right. It hasn't stopped. Kickback from the industry is not going to really change anything.
Yeah.
The only thing it does is... put Adam Ronis in a new address, but, you know, good luck to him.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so I guess we differentiate here and how much we like or dislike this.
You know what? Actually, it'd be a great poll, and it would probably get, if Roto World retweeted it, it would actually be
that would be very good for us.
Yeah.
We should actually just do a poll for the last hour. Do you think Roto World's updates are funny?
No, we don't need to do that. You'd
have to put a couple examples out there.
Here we go.
Off of Greg's phone.
Here's the last one I'll give you before we hit the top of the hour. General manager Sam Hinkie said he won't rule out attempting to sign a player to a max deal. That's neat. When we come back, hour number 3 with more updates here in Week 11. Stick around. The Roto Experts continues on after this. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.